Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one we worship this blessed day. Amen. Our text is the Gospel lesson, Luke 14, the very difficult words of Jesus about being a disciple. Let's talk about that and meditate on that for a while. We pray, Lord, open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts to receive your word in faith. We pray in your name. Amen. Well, hate and die and give up and do it all in a big hurry before it's too late. Now, who wants to sign up for that job? Hate, die, give up, and do it in a hurry before it's too late. That is, if you will, the job description in Luke 14 for being a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. How's that sound? I wonder if a lot of people ran away back then when he said those words. And I don't see any of you running away, so let's talk about what he means. This gospel is one of the most difficult gospel lessons we have the entire church here. Christ is blunt, he's straightforward, he's real. Being my disciple on this earth is not easy, a cakewalk, piece of cake, you just live and you go to heaven, it's all easy. It is hard. First of all, he says, you're going to be my disciple, hate. This stands out. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, he mentions about everybody here, and even his own wife, he cannot be my disciple. Now, Jesus here is teaching with exaggeration to make a point. He is not teaching us literally to have hatred in our heart towards our family or for that matter, for anybody else. Christ isn't a man of hate. But rather by exaggeration, he's teaching us to be his disciple. We're baptized. We believe. We bear the name of Christ. Okay, we're Christians. This means that we are to love him. We are to love him, be so devoted to him, so committed to him by the power of the Holy Spirit, such faith in him and love for him, so much that love for our family could be called hatred. Because we have so much more love for him. We ought to love him a million times more than we love our own family, which most of us love our own family right below Jesus, but it's not supposed to be right below. We are to love Christ more than anything, and everything else, in a way, is hatred. I love my mom. I'm called to love my mom. My dad's in heaven, but I love Jesus a whole lot more because Jesus is my Lord and my mom's not. Maybe a semi-Lord for a little while as a little boy. You know, I love my kids, but I love Jesus a whole lot more because my kids can't take away sins. They're pretty good at showing Dad his sins, but they can't take sins away. I love my beloved wife very, very much, but I love Jesus a million times more, and she loves Jesus a whole lot more than she loves me. Because Jesus can get me to heaven, does take me to heaven, and can take me shopping and on a good walk. She cannot get me to heaven. I can't get her to heaven. So, let no one and nothing come between you and Jesus. And he mentions family here because often our family, our spouse, mom and dad, kids, or our kids' sports these days, our kids' hobbies, they always seem to get in the way between me and the Lord. Well, we got to go here and take the kids to sports. Well, what's really most important to you? And what is your child really learning when you take them to sports rather than to church? What message are you giving him of who you really love, parent? Let nothing, no one come between you and Jesus, never. Now, hopefully and prayerfully, our family, our earthly family, is right here with us with Jesus, and praise God for that. But sometimes that's not the case. And what God calls on us to do here, he himself does. He hates, God hates his own son because of his love for us. Think about it. God the Father hated his own son for a while. He forsook his own son. He put his own son through hell. He laid all his wrath and anger over sin on his own son, Jesus. He hated Jesus. Jesus was sin because of his love for us. So he calls on us to do the same. Tough words. How important is Jesus to you? And then, secondly, die. It gets even worse. You think that was hard. He says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. A cross means death. We have crosses all over the place. We get used to the word cross. We love the cross, and rightfully so. We should love the cross of Jesus. But cross doesn't have the impact it would back then, because we've had a cross around 2,000 years. When they hear the word cross, bear a cross? The Roman soldiers kill criminals on a cross, and the worst criminals. It's a torturous, violent, terrible way to die. That's where this all ends? Jesus, martyrdom, a cross? No rabbi or teacher back in that day would ever demand his followers, his teachers, to die for him on a cross. But Jesus does. Because he's God. Lord, Savior, not just a teacher or a rabbi. And what compels us is two things. We take up our cross, we suffer all, we will die for the Lord because of his cross. And mentioning cross here, he's really referring to how he himself is going to die. And we look at the heavy load that he bore for us, the heavy load of the cross. He suffered condemnation in hell. He did that for me. I'll bear my little cross. His cross draws me, compels me to bear my cross with joy. You know, we have work day here at First Lutheran, and we have these incredible men and women that come and work. And I have my little work of putting oil in the candles, Martin, and changing the eternal light and cleaning up the church a little bit. My little work. And that's not much at all. But what spurs me on when I'm really, really lazy is I see Steve Kaiser like 90 foot in the air changing something up there, and he's near death because he's on a ladder. Wow! If he can do that, can I not do that? And then there's Sean Turner changing a grease trap, whatever that thing is. It doesn't sound very good, though, to change a grease trap. He can do that. I can change oil. What am I complaining about? Dan Jordan bearing branches, carrying branches all over the yard that have blown down. He can do that. I can change an eternal life. Jesus can do that, the cross. He can bear my sins and suffer hell. I can suffer for him and die for him. That's easy. Another thing that compels us is the crown of heaven. A cross is terrible and horrible, the crosses we bear. They do hurt. But we know they lead to the crown of heaven, which is eternal. Crosses are just temporal. Even Jesus' cross was only 6 hours, friends, 6 hours. And now it's over. He's been in glory as King of Kings and joy for 2,000 years. And this spurs us on to the joy of heaven that awaits us. Are the Vols overrated? Pat, overhyped, overrated? I think so. All the news on Friday and Saturday, the Vols are overrated, overhyped, oh my, we'll see how it plays out. Jesus overrated, friend? You think heaven is overhyped by the Bible and the church? Not a chance. Only one person, one thing's not overrated or overhyped, and that's the Son of God and the eternal glory that awaits us. We can't hype that enough. So we bear our cross. Thirdly, we give up. This is discipleship. You hate, meaning you love Christ more than anything else. You bear your cross. You suffer all for him, even death for him, because he bore the cross. And then you give up. He tells a little story here, the little parable of the man building the tower. He needs to count the cost. Do I have enough materials and resources to complete this tower? And if not, don't even start. Give up. What's he teaching through this little parable? I think he's making reference back to the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament. And the people there, in their great pride and ego, in their great creativity, they're going to build a tower up to God. They're going to reach heaven by themselves, by their strength, their creativity, their education, their smarts, their hard work. We're going to get to God by ourselves. And did they have the resources? No. God looked down at what they were building. You're not even close. He scattered them. And now, rightfully, we mock those people. We laugh at them. Trying to build a tower to God? Give up! You can't do it. And this is discipleship. Don't ever think that by your good work, your effort, your creativity, your education, how good you are, somehow you can build a life that reaches God. You can build your tower. That's why Christ says, count the cost. Do you have the resources? You don't have the resources. Friend, you're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not capable enough. You're not smart enough. So don't even try. Give up on your good works. Give up on your effort. And put your faith in the one who is strong enough. Put your faith in Jesus. This is the call of faith in this little parable. Christ is the tower. He is the ladder that Jacob saw. Just cling to Him. Give up on all that effort and cling to Him in faith. And Jesus, forgive me and save me. You're my tower. You're my ladder. There's a contrast of the Tower of Babel to Jacob's ladder later in Genesis. And what was Jacob doing when he saw the ladder from heaven, which is Christ? Jacob was doing nothing. He was sleeping, doing nothing. That's the point. Don't be like the people of the Tower of Babel. By my effort and my goodness and my strength, I'll make it. Be like Jacob and rest in Jesus, your ladder. He'll get you there. Someone asked me this week before the game, Pat, Pastor, are you a Vol for life? And after I stopped laughing for a while, I said, I'm not even a Vol for 3 hours of a game, let alone a Vol for life. Chris, be a Vol for life, I don't care. But I do care about this. Christianity is falling in life. Fall in life. That's Christianity. Fall in life. Fall before the feet of Jesus. Fall and say, Lord, I can't do it. I can't build a tower. Lord, save me. Forgive me. Be my tower, my strength, my ladder. Help me to cling to you. That's Christianity. You fall in life. And that's not hard to do for us proud, egotistical people. And then, number four, do it all quickly. Do it in a hurry before it's too late. He tells the other little parable of the king who's going to go to war against another king. And this king with 20,000 is coming against you, and you're a king with 10,000. Again, consider what's going on here. You're going to get destroyed, okay? This is Alabama coming to Tennessee in a few weeks here. We're going to get destroyed, just teasing. But wow, look out. Make terms of peace now before it's too late. He's got 20,000. You got 10. You better make peace now before he's too late. He comes and crushes you. And the Lord is teaching perhaps about the final day when He comes with His army of angels. He's coming. God is coming with the army of angels. And He's going to crush all the wicked. So make peace now. Be reconciled to Him now so He doesn't destroy you, but He gives you His home in heaven. And do it in a hurry before it's too late. And so, who are we going to send to make peace for us? Who did He send to make peace for us? His own Son. Christ is the delegate. He is the mediator. He's the one who makes peace. He's teaching the people, you and I, make peace now. And how are you going to make peace with the King who's coming with His army of angels? Trust in me. I'm your mediator. I will die for you. I'll pay the price for you. I'll rise to you. Trust in me. Cling to me. I'll make peace. I'm your mediator. And do it now before it's too late. Don't wait around, crowd. Get off the fence and follow me. And so for the church, get off the fence. You're not baptized, be baptized. Be confirmed. Commune. Stay in the church. Hold on to Christ. Don't wait till later. There's no later. I read odd ways that people have died over the years. And perhaps the oddest way that some people have died over the years is called vending machine death. Really? In the last 10, 15 years, about 40 people have died by vending machines. How's that happen, Pastor? Well, they put in their money for the Coke candy bar, and they put it in, they push the buttons, but nothing comes out. And so what happens? They get angry. They got to have that candy bar now. They got to have that Coke now. I can't wait till later, or just give up on the lousy dollar I put in the machine and forget about it. I got to have it now. So they shake the machine, and guess what happens? The machine falls on them and kills them. Vending machine death. Gotta have that Coke now. Gotta have the potato chips now. Gotta have it now. I'll do anything to have that now. How ridiculous. But I ask myself a lot as pastor, you know, where is the urgency to have Jesus? Where's the urgency for confession and absolution? Where's the urgency for the Word of God? Where's the urgency for communion? Where's the urgency on God's people? There's always something else to do. And that's sad. That's really, really pathetic. This is our God who saved us. Be urgent about it. Bring kids and youth. Let nothing come in the way. This is salvation. Hate. Die. Be in a hurry. Give up. This is the Christian walk. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.